Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why you lay this man hit? Vinny Hamilton is on in the big league because he can run.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No reason to be sorry, Ozzy. Thanks to our guests today, Anthony Herron and Sage Rosenfels, both of whom were tremendous. Thanks to Brian Gerge, Connor O'Donnell, Jay Zawoski, Jordan Malley. How about this for a show tomorrow? Ian Happ at 9. If you were listening to the show today, you know why. At 10 o'clock, Herbert Perry is going to join us. The Milkman, Herbert Perry at 10. And at 11, we're going to talk to Mike Bryant. That's Chris's dad and his hitting coach who helped him get back to hitting high fastballs. So that's going to be a fun one, and we hope that Layla is healthy and recovered and back as well. Right now, it is time for Transition, brought to you by CarX, Tire, and Auto, and here is Lawrence Holmes.
Hello, Dan. Will you do me a favor and ask Mike Bryant a Ted Williams question? Because I believe Ted Williams was his hitting coach.
And also the original launch angle disciple.
Yes, he was, and I would love to know like how much of that stuff is filtered into what he's taught Chris. So if you get a chance, I'd love for you to ask him about that.
I love historical connections like that when you can start drawing those lines and sort of reaching back there. But yeah, it's going to be fun.
Good, good. Almost as fun as White Sox baseball.
Man.
Damn.
Hey, intervention today. You've got an off day. I don't know what you have to do, but get a team together. If you're Rick, you go to Kenny's office. You find whoever you have to find, and you march down the hall.
You get a posse.
Yeah, I'm serious. You march down a hallway, and you've got to have an honest, open conversation about what the hell's going on with our baseball team. How can this man be allowed to impede what we're trying to do? How can we not have systems in place to prevent the manager from being incompetent?
I agree with you. I think, look, none of us wanted Tony La Russa managing the White Sox. And there are a lot of people over there that didn't want Tony La Russa managing the White Sox, but he's the manager. So it is now incumbent upon anyone who is invested in the White Sox winning the World Series to figure out, as you said, like systems, checks and balances to make stuff happen. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and yesterday's press conference situation, again, could have been avoided. It's like little things here and there where, yes, the manager messed up, and apparently so did the rest of his bench and the rest of the organization. Cool. What you can't have is then the manager looking incompetent as he's being questioned by reporters who have to read back to him the rule book. That's something where you go, Tony, come here a minute.
I said that before. Like I've been in that position as a PR guy before. That's your job.
Yeah.
And I don't know why is it that apparently his assistants don't feel that they can step in? A PR person doesn't feel like, is this guy that untouchable or that unapproachable or marching around just that bulletproof? I mean, what is happening in this organization right now where this single move has compromised so many aspects of how they function?
Yeah, and it shouldn't be that way. And I haven't heard any stories of like him walking around over there like Godzilla. So that's why I'm surprised, because there are enough people there that are good at their jobs to understand that if this is the way that the owner wants to go, then they're going to have to work overtime as a support system for him. And in the first month and a week of a season, we found that whatever mechanism that they have in place is not working. Every fail-safe that they've put in place is not working. And this was now what you signed up for. This is why when we started talking about the idea of, you know, if people didn't like it, they did have the choice to walk away from the situation. Okay, you didn't want to walk away because of contract considerations or whatever. Cool. Your job is to make this work. It sucks. It sucks that you were put into this position by the owner. It sucks that you have to prop up a guy who clearly has struggled with the game passing him by since the last time that he was in the dugout. The game has changed. The rules have changed. And there are things that he doesn't know. He is ignorant to. And it is on full display. That means that everyone else has to work to make sure that he is bolstered. I don't like it. I think that it's terrible that you have to have a manager that needs this level of attention and help to get him through a baseball season. But this is what they've chosen. And since this is what you've chosen, how about this? Instead of, and even if like, if you're thinking at the root of this, there's like sabotage, like there are people in the organization that want him to fail. That means that the players fail. And I don't want the players to fail. I want to do everything that I can to maximize this time with Lucas Giolito and Tim Anderson and all of these great players that the White Sox have and have been embraced by their fan base. So that means that everyone has to step it up. And the bench coach and the pitching coach have got to be like, Tony, no, this is let's do this. What do you think about us doing this? That means that the entire PR staff, they can't let him. It's a Zoom. Like, you can't let him walk into the Zoom without knowing the rule and without telling him and preparing him and saying, listen, that's a sharp beat. The White Sox beat is sharp. They got smart guys on that beat, smart women on that beat. They're going to ask questions. Be prepared to answer those questions. And if Tony starts the Zoom with, hey, I screwed that up. I should not have had Hendricks out there.
We've had that one already. We've done the Matt Foster press conference. We've done the Lucas Giolito press conference. I mean, how many of these does he get?
I'm saying, though, Dan, that still would have been a better alternative than him being read the rule book. Don't you agree?
By a reporter.
Yes!
I've never ever heard anything like that before. In a post-game press conference where a reporter informs a coach or manager of a rule that coach or manager did not know. I've never, ever heard that before.
And it was an absolute first. It looked terrible, like from the organ. And it was weird because nationally, it didn't get a lot of run as the game ended. And then as the day went on, then it started to get run. And you're starting to see, like, on the bottom line, and it be a discussion point on shows. DA did something on it this morning for the Sports Minute. So people are paying attention to the White Sox in a way that they've never wanted to have. Like, the White Sox over the last 3 years, and we can say over the last 5 years, have been building up this brand of their rebuild. And they get to this point of not just respectability, but likability. They get that with last year's team. They make the move. Even the fan base is like, okay, we get why you fired Ricky. And they're expecting better days to be ahead on the next hire, hoping that it's someone like A.J. Hinch.
Or it is actually
A.J. Hinch. Anyone but the person that they put in to the clubhouse because of his deficiencies. And some of this, I don't want to be an ageist. I really don't. But some of this is really just a guy being away from the game. And he can tell you all that he wants, that he was working as an advisor. It's different. It's different when you're the one making decisions versus you're kind of watching these games and maybe you're charting some of these games versus it's happening in the moment.
No,
and
he can't keep up.
To act.
It's clear he can't keep up. And if though a lot of people seem to believe that there people aren't stepping in just because they're like, all right, well, this is the guy you wanted, and just sort of just letting him twist in the wind.
I don't want that to be the case, Dan, because I don't want them to waste a year of those players' time.
I don't want this can't be handled passive aggressively. You need today, have it out. Have an intervention. Have a meeting. Everybody in a room. Figure this out. You got to talk it over. And if he doesn't understand the stuff he doesn't know, Jerry has to see that. This is what makes me crazy is that Reinsdorf, at this stage of his life, where so many owners, so many wealthy men at the end of their baseball lives, the end of their actual earthly lives, who own baseball teams, Mike Ilitch and all that, just want to win. How can he not see that whatever he's trying, whatever guilt he's trying to assuage, whatever wrong he's trying to right, that he's going to, this is keeping his team from having the best chance to win? And if that doesn't matter, what does?
Well,
if that's not important, what is?
And it clearly was important 3 months ago because they moved on from Ricky Renteria. That and you know, I'm sure you know, you've talked to a lot of the same people over there that I talked to, that they all were quick to tell you about the damage that Ricky had done to his reputation in the last week of the season, the series against Cleveland, and how he managed the series against Oakland. If that made it all the way up to ownership, if Jerry at the time understood that they were losing a battle inside their clubhouse, then how can he not look at this and be like, we're still losing it, and maybe we're losing that battle even worse now, like that than what we were with Ricky as the manager? But if the penance is served. Like, Jerry made the call and brought him back, I don't imagine there were any fences to mend because they were still pretty tight. But you've done your good deed. And now, are you servicing yourself? And are you servicing the guys that play for you by having him be the manager? And to me, through the first 5 weeks of the season, the answer is no. But I don't think that I'm going to get my way when it comes to them moving on and finding someone else to manage the team. So then it becomes about every piece of support system that you have. The White Sox have brilliant baseball people who work over there. And I think that what you're talking about, like the concept of an intervention, it's a little extreme, but I agree with it. That there has to be a meeting of the minds. It's got to be Kenny. It's got to be Rick. It's got to be Scott Reifer. It's got to be Bob Bechtol. It's got to be the entire coaching staff and Tony. And they all need to figure out how to make everyone communicate better together. That they have to look at this as this, the White Sox as a brand is being damaged right now. So they have to do damage control on it, and they have to make it so that there's a better way to get all of this stuff processed. Because look, I'll tell you what, it wasn't even just the Hendricks thing. As I left here yesterday, I'm watching, I ducked my head
the
studio.
Well, the steal.
Before we
and then
even
to
get to that.
Down, and then to say it was the right thing to do at Billy Hamilton.
Before my we even God. Get to that, I ducked my head in and I said, there's an off day tomorrow, right? To Tanny. He goes, yeah. I said, so why is Kopech still out there? Like, you had the full run of your entire bullpen as the bases were loaded up. And then you get to the Leori steal, which I don't know if that was Tony covering for Leori or not, because he loves his veterans. But as I'm listening, like as he took off, look at Dan, as he took off, DJ goes, what are we doing?
He said, and then after he got thrown out, DJ said, I don't know what we're doing out there.
And on the television side, at the end, you had Jason and Lynn being like, okay, we need to check the rule. And both of those guys are really smart and really sensitive, and I'm sure that they both have the rule book memorized, considering they who they are.
They know.
And they were like, yeah, I don't think you have to put Hendricks out there to run, but we'll consult our rules guy, and we'll check the rule book. That's stuff that can't – if the broadcasters know, if fans know, hey, that doesn't look right. I've never seen that thing happen before. Someone inside the dugout has to go, Tony, there's a different way that we can do this.
Or somebody outside the dugout has to call somebody in the dugout. It's an the organizational processes. I want it to stop happening. Fix your team. Solve this. Or if you're really, if you finally get Jerry's ear, you say, look, we're going to say Tony's got a health problem and he's re-retiring. And that's that. And Jerry Nairn's going to manage right now. And that's what we're going to do. Man, it makes me crazy. It makes me really unhappy because I know what's going on in that building. And I know how many people are miserable. How many people just understand that they didn't have to do this? Everything we said could happen, all of the pitfalls, everything that could go wrong is exactly what we're laying out about somebody you put into this position who isn't competent, for whom the game has passed him by. And the 630 texter says, how about a USS Alabama Crimson Tide style mutiny? XO has the con.
I mean,
they'll fight about the Lipizzaner Stallions.
My whole thing is, this is the path that you chose to go down. So if you don't want to waste your own time and those players' time, you better figure a way to bolster your manager, because he desperately, desperately needs it. Dan, thanks as always. I will see you tomorrow.
Get the driver out.
No, not today. Not today. I won't
Three
need
wood
it.
Off the tee? Okay.
I don't even need it. I don't need the driver today. Like okay. The White Sox fans have got the driver today. I'm just here. I'm just here to talk about some things and hopefully try and figure some things out.
Good. Have fun.
That is Dan Bernstein. The Bernstein and Rahimi Show is Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until noon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.